So, this is Vibe Drive episode 139. And in episode 139, we are treading into the dangerous next generation of console wars with the Xbox Series X and the PlayStation 5. That's right. I am talking about both of them after having them both for a month. We are talking about them next on Vibe Drive, which starts now. What's up, people? This your boy, Viper, the man about tech, and welcome back to another episode of Bike Drive. This is the podcast about tech, hosted by the man about tech, and as I alluded to in my introduction, I have had both the PlayStation 5 and the Xbox Series X for about a month now, so I'm going to compare the two, talk about the pros, cons, if they're worth it, what you should be looking forward to, different things like that on today's podcast. So, to start off the podcast, like I said, I own both. I got the PlayStation 5 on day one because I pre-ordered it via Amazon. I was able to secure it. Luckily, it got delivered on November 12th like it was supposed to. However, I cannot say the same of my Xbox Series X, which coincidentally, I also pre-ordered off of Amazon. I did not get my Xbox Series X on day one. I'm not going to go too far down that rabbit hole. Y'all heard me complain about Amazon and the way they handled their pre-order for Xbox. Terrible. Ridiculous. But unfortunately, Watkins, I can't say unfortunately because I didn't secure it, but it took me a week after the Xbox officially launched for me to find one at Target. I had to drive 80 miles to another state to procure my Xbox Series X, but I did eventually secure one. So again, I've had them both for a few weeks now. We're going to talk about them. Got them both. The first thing I need to mention and highlight before we really get into the weeds with all of this stuff is that they are both buggy AF. Okay. Now, I know this podcast is probably going to fuel a bunch of console wars and things like that, the difference of opinions and all that good stuff, but let's just start at the basics. They are both buggy AF. I have had both of them crash on me. I've had both of them crash games on me. I've had both of them restart on me. They are both buggy as hell. I don't know if we've ever had a console release this buggy. I know the Xbox 360 had the red ring of death, so that's a little different, though, but I mean, just out of the gate, both consoles have myriad of hardware and software bugs that they need to iron out. Well, mostly software bugs, but even though Sony has already released, like, they released two updates, it's still crashing on me and things like that. I'm getting that storage database error from time to time with the PlayStation 5, so that's just annoying. However, even though both of them have been buggy in my experience, I have not had an issue where they just don't work. So if I do run into a bug and if they do crash, this, that, and the other, they both just start back up after the restart. So basically, if there's a bug, I restart, or if there's something that like crashed, then it'll restart on its own and then the problem will be done. But usually a simple restart alleviates most of the issues I'm having. But I just want to make that crystal clear before I get into the podcast. I have had issues with both of them. None of these consoles are perfect. They're both buggy AF out of the gate. Sony has released two updates to address the bugs. Microsoft has released one update, but it wasn't really to address the bugs. It was to add dashboard features. I mean, Microsoft, we don't care about that. Can you fix the bugs? So thank you very much. Bye. The other thing that I probably should mention is that all of these bugs aren't solely on the consoles themselves. I have had Call of Duty crash on me multiple times, and that is not an issue with the console. I have a Call of Duty on my I have Call of Duty on PlayStation 5. And it crashed multiple times, but that's not really a Call of Duty issue. That's more of an issue with who's making Call of Duty? Treyarch and their servers. So the Call of Duty servers are buggy as hell. Also, Ubisoft and Watch Dogs. Oh my lord, there is an active bug going on right now with Watch Dogs Legion where it will not save your progress. This is baffling to me. I don't want to. How the hell do you release a game that you can't save your progress? I mean, Ubisoft talking about they're gonna patch the bug in like the first week of December. I'm still waiting, man. I am still waiting. Can you please patch the bug, Ubisoft? Come on, man. What is happening? What is going on? Now, I see my man Big Cloud Gaming out there. I'll try to get some people on his podcast, but I know it's kind of last minute. But a Big Cloud, if you got a few minutes to join me, let me know. I'll shoot you the link. We can talk about this stuff. But man, again, some of these developers need to fix their servers and things like that so we can actually have stable game experiences because, again, with Ubisoft and Watch Dogs not be able to save my progress and the Call of Duty server crashing every now and then. It's just craziness. I don't get this stuff. But that's what it is. So we got hardware bug with the systems themselves, and then we got software bugs and server bugs with the developers on their end not being able to provide a stable experience with their servers. So that kind of sucks. But now that we got that stuff out of the way, let's get into the weed and potatoes, talking about PlayStation versus Xbox. At some point during the podcast, I have been requested to take call-in. So we will be opening up the Vibe line at some point in the podcast to take you guys calls about this stuff. Now, I've just also been notified or been my invitation has been accepted by BitCloud Gaming. So at some point in the podcast, we will be joined by BitCloud Gaming, who is a hardcore, well, not hardcore, but he keeps it neutral, but he's more of a Sony guy, but he keeps it at 100 about everything. So I'm definitely excited to get Big Cloud's opinion since he's had the PlayStation since launch day. So we'll talk to Big Cloud here in a moment about the PlayStation and his experiences. But like I said, both of these things have been buggy AF, and I'm just like, this kind of sucks. But you know what? At the same time, you kind of expect this stuff when we talk about first generation, or not first generation, when we talk about like brand new hardware coming out with new technologies, first generation technologies, you're going to have these type of bugs. I mean, it is what it is. There's no way around it. So we just have to kind of put up with it as early adopters, because that's kind of what we signed up for when we get the first wave of these consoles. They're going to be bugs. And this is not just a console thing. This is with most new technology. If you are an early adopter, if you have to be on the bleeding edge of new technology, you better be prepared to sit through some growing pains and bugs, because trust me when I tell you, it ain't going to happen. Oh, that was quick AF. But allow me to introduce my special guest on the podcast, one of the best gaming content creators on YouTube. Like I said, he's a Sony guy, but he keeps it real about everything like I do myself. Let me introduce my man, Ryan, from Big Cloud Gaming. What's up, sir? How you doing, man? And there he is.
All right, you hear me now?
I can hear you. There you go. There you go. What's up, man?
What's going on?
Not much, man. I wanted to do this podcast to talk about these consoles since I've had them both pretty much since launch day. I know a lot of people are still trying to either get them or they're trying to figure out maybe which one to get. And I figured, you know, since I kind of sway a little bit towards Xbox, I figured it'd be cool to get you on because I know you're a Sony guy. But how you doing, man?
I'm doing good, man. Doing good. You know, just one playing these games.
I've seen you. You have been on that Demon Souls like a madman, man.
Woo! Latin did today.
Oh man, congrats, man. I don't think I've ever platinum a game. I don't really have that much time, but man, y'all be getting it in though. So I appreciate you.
Oh yeah, just playing those games. Then I had to reach out to a few people because I rebranded a few particular things. I don't know if you see the new logo.
But I see the new logo, man. It looks sharp, man. It looks sharp.
Yeah, it's actually animated. So it's gonna be in the videos and everything. It's gonna be cool. But yeah, when rebranded that type of stuff and just I guess you say it took a little minute away from the content per se to get everything in order. So
no doubt. So like it's funny because I spent my entire summer clowning Xbox because of their lack of games and how they've been shellacked by Sony over the past 7 years because of their lack of games. Now the Xbox crowd normally tells me we don't care about exclusive. We got more people on Xbox that we game with. Blah 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 blah. Mm-hmm.
That's why does it bother you that this side get to play it? Exclusives are anti-consumer, but we already know what happened as soon as Doom was acquired, or should I say, you know, Doom saying exclusive, and I'm just gonna go about.
They can say exclusives aren't important. They can say exclusives aren't important, but you don't get shellacked 7 years in a row in sales because exclusives are not important. Clearly, they're important to a large majority of people.
Oh yeah,
and that's why Sony consoles sell more than Xbox, and that's why the PlayStation 5 is selling more initially. In the sales numbers than Xbox, because the exclusives do matter. They might not matter to you, but to a large majority of the population, having actual quality content games to play on the box is kind of important.
Yeah, that is true. You need it regardless. I remember I said that even in videos. You know, I preach this all the time in the videos when dudes kept like saying, oh, you know what you're talking about? We have 12 T-flops. I'm sitting going, listen, yeah, on paper, Series X is a monster on paper. But what you're missing is how games are going forward, like going in the future. Games in general, how they're going to be created is like a new innovation now for what Sony has created with this architecture with PS5. It's a completely new experience for them that is completely accessible and gives them all access to the resources. Xbox Series X is a good system, right? It's a beefier traditional system, but it doesn't have what Sony's what Sony has done in the long run. The biggest thing everybody was talking about was what? I/O throughput. You see it on screen with how much data can be accessed and how much can be produced on screen. This is why you're seeing games look even more better on PS5, despite having a some people say downgraded, but this is why people would say this, but it is what it is. You're seeing it with your own eyes. Like, you know, games not even running at 4K are looking better on PS5. And it's like, well, I tried to warn you.
So let's talk about that a little bit further, because like I said, I'm more of an Xbox guy. I spend more time on my Series X, but I just have to laugh at the fact that Microsoft originally was marketing the Xbox Series X as the world's most powerful console.
Yep.
Then Digital Foundry entered the chat. Digital Foundry entered the chat, and they discovered that most of these multi-platform games are performing slightly better on the PlayStation 5, Microsoft went and changed their marketing from world's most powerful console to the world's most powerful Xbox. And I'm just like, damn, man, that is damning, Ryan. I mean, I'm an Xbox dude. That's damning.
They have pressure on them. Like I said it before, it's the same thing I said about 343. Remember how, like, when we first saw Halo Infinite's gameplay and how bad it looked? I was like, guys, y'all putting unnecessary pressure on this one game. Y'all should be howling at Phil Spencer and everybody to have more on the actual market just until this game gets up and running, you know, have everything up and go. Like, Sony didn't have this issue. You have, like, some bangers in each particular category. You got the Demon's Souls for the Souls fans. You had Spider-Man Miles Morales, which looks fantastic. I played that immediately. You have other games coming as well. I mean, it's like, you know, where are your games? I get it. You're talking about power. I get that you're hyped for the box, which is expected. But if you're thinking power is just going to sell 40 million out the gate, that's not how it works.
Mm-mm. You got to have, like I always say on these podcasts and live streams, you have to show your work. And right now, Microsoft has pretty much nothing to show for it as it relates to why we should buy the Series X. This is the thing I was saying all summer long. Xbox Game Pass is nice, but that is not something that you use to sell your next generation console, because all of those games are older games and games that have already been played on the Xbox One and whatever.
Mm-hmm. What
games are you using to sell the Series X? And Microsoft right now has nothing. Their home run hitter Halo was delayed until 2021. And for reasons that are still baffling to me, they had no backup plan. There's no other title that they can use to showcase the power of the Xbox Series X. So right now, me being an Xbox guy, I'm playing games on my Xbox One Series X, like Madden and Valhalla. But guess what? I could play those games on PlayStation 5. So,
yeah,
you know, there's nothing that is showcasing the power of the Series X. And then, like I just said, when Digital Foundry compared both systems with their multi-plat games, they're discovering the PlayStation 5 games are slightly running better. And I'm just like, all right. So you have no home run hitting games at launch, but you're touting power, power, power. But then we do the study, we go deep dive into it, and we find out that PlayStation is actually performing better. So now you got to change your whole marketing ideology to tone that down, because you don't have the power advantage that you thought you had. So let me get it straight.
Dude, it's basically
you have no game. Yeah, you have no game. Your power advantage has been neutralized. I mean, damn, Microsoft. You're not starting off the game pretty well. It's not going too well for Microsoft.
Isn't that crazy that you just said that? Like, they're not starting off the game strong. But here's the thing. They were the talk of the show if we go back a few months with the Game Awards. Remember that? They were the first one to show off not just the console, but everything for Xbox Series X at the Game Awards. So we knew what the console looked like. We knew what they were going for immediately. We was okay, damn, maybe they are ahead. Maybe they got things on track. Maybe they did learn. Come to find out, it only took one reveal from PlayStation 1 and all this shift of, Sony scared, Sony can't do this, that, and the third, died in one conference. And that was when they showcased the PS5 console. I was like, wow, okay. So it took one conference with Sony. Microsoft had like four, and they built a lot of hype with the first one with the Game Awards. They slowly killed it with the showcase of games. Remember, the first ever multiplats running on it didn't really impress everybody. Then we saw the first party game, and oh boy, that's when Craig was born. The meme was born.
Ooh, you're talking about Halo Infinite when they released at their Xbox game showcase back in July. Yeah, Halo Infinite looked terrible. It just looked
I don't know how you're ahead of Xbox and that goes unnoticed and you greenlight that. That's the thing. How do you greenlight that?
Well, they started off pretty kind of nice and thoughty with the cut thing between Master Chief and the dude in the spaceship. But then we got the spaceship. Ooh, yeah.
We're kind of okay, it's going to look good. You got the dude in the spaceship. Got him looking crisp. Okay, I like this. Now, all of a sudden, what am I looking at here? And then the excuse is, well, it's open world, guys. Open world. Let me tell you something. Horizon Zero Dawn is open world. And Horizon Zero Dawn looks better than that.
Mm. Yo, just saying. But, okay, so I've been talking about how Microsoft doesn't have any home run hitting game to launch the console. However, if you are going to handicap your console at launch, you got a nice crutch in Xbox Game Pass, because as much as I make fun of it, it is a nice crutch because you don't have any games to showcase, but you do have a catalog of 100 or more games that people can play right off the bat. Yeah. I'm not going to sit here and pretend like Xbox Game Pass isn't a good deal for most gamers, especially the casual gamer that doesn't have the money to buy every game that comes out. But let's not get it twisted. The quality of titles on Xbox Game Pass isn't really up there that bad, that much. It's not all that great. Number one. Number two, and more importantly, I mean, the games on Xbox Game Pass aren't really your games. You're just renting them for a time. So if you want to own the games, you still have to buy them outright. You can't just, I mean, you could download them on Game Pass and play them whenever you want, but you have to continue paying monthly for that subscription to have access to those games. Not to mention the fact that the hard-hitting AAA multiplats aren't coming to Game Pass. Game Pass is Microsoft's first-party vehicle. They're not getting multiplats like Cyberpunk and Assassin's Creed and all those games. Those are not coming to Game Pass. Not at all. So if you want to play those hard-hitting AAA multiplats, you still got to buy those outright anyway. So, I mean, the allure of Game Pass is just having that back catalog of older games and maybe Microsoft first-party games when they come out. I know they said that they're going to be bringing most of their first-party games out day and day on Game Pass, but the only problem with that, as me and Ryan have been talking about, is that you don't have anything, Microsoft, right now. You have nothing. So we have to wait like a year or two for those games to realize your vision for Game Pass, because right now it's a bunch of nothing.
Yeah, like Game Pass is a great deal. I even admit it all the time. Like when people downplay, I'm like, guys, it's really good for what they're giving you, especially if you're just starting with the console. But you know, Sony kind of took steps, do their own little thing for it too. Like they just added that new PlayStation collection to PS Plus users, which, by the way, they said it's going to be expanded. It's not just going to be those 20 games. So you're going to get more games on top of those games you get free a month.
Wow.
That is a big deal. If they keep throwing out bangers on that thing, who needs a Game Pass again?
Exactly. Game Pass will be obliterated at that point.
Yeah, like at that point, like I see what they're doing. It's smart, but I wouldn't be surprised if Sony goes down the same route with a Game Pass type of model. They kind of been talking about a rebranded PS Plus with PS Now included.
Okay.
Yeah, that's been going around. So that wouldn't surprise me if they have something like that too. But going back to Game Pass, Game Pass is a great value, but the thing is, people will keep using this as like some kind of shield or defense tactic. I don't understand why we got here, where they're saying, well, we got Game Pass. Game Pass can't be beat because of this. I'm sitting going, yeah, it's a great deal, but that deal is not going to sell the box. You need to wow the consumer to go, yeah, I need this on that box. I've said this numerous times. You just need that. And some people get upset when I say this, but it really is the truth. And first impressions, it's like you go to a job interview. First impressions are everything. It makes the biggest impact. You don't get a second chance to win people over at times. You really don't. So when you say you have the world's most powerful console, when you tease PlayStation fans or PlayStation executives, when they say, oh yeah, PS5 is the most fastest console, and you go, oh, that's cool, but our games are going to look and play better on Xbox, right? And your games not only are not doing that, well, you just dug yourself in a hole and everybody's just throwing in the dirt. At this point, I mean, it is what it is. Like Microsoft spends too much time talking and not a lot of time working. That's the problem with Microsoft. And that is the truth. Like, it's like, guys, enough. Either get to work or shut up. Shut up. Nobody wants to see this. Because when you play the victim card, like it goes back to that tribalism talk that Phil Spencer said. I agree with what most of you said. Like, dudes treat the whole consoles like a war. And like, you know, you can't come to this side and talk about gaming going on. I agree, it is toxic, but let's not get ahead of ourselves here. All you Xboxes X, let's not get ahead of ourselves and act like you don't feed into this and give these guys ammunition. When Aaron Greenberg was talking about the games, what'd he say? All games are going to be 60 on Series X. Yeah, but he's like, oh yeah, he's like, all games are gonna be 60 on Series X, but he because you know it was reports going around that PS5 might not have 60 FPS.
Right.
So all games are gonna be 60 on Xbox Series X. They said what he said, games are gonna look and play better on Xbox Series X. It's like, bro, you know what you're trying, you know what you're doing with that message. You're just giving these dudes more ammo to go with. And mm-hmm. now that everybody's flipping it, well. You set yourself up for that stuff.
And it's kind of funny because back, I think, a month or two before the launch, I was Microsoft was putting the Xbox Series X in the hands of journalists and influencers, and they were only allowing them to show off older backward compatible games. And I my thinking was, why are we not seeing any next generation games running on the console? Microsoft never let them show anything off like that until like I think a few days before launch with Yakuza Like a Dragon and Dirt 5. But I mean, really, are we talking about Yakuza and Dirt 5? I mean, those are the cool games, but those aren't games that should be showing off your next generation console.
Yeah,
but we really didn't even see anything on the Xbox Series X until like maybe a few days before the console launch. While PlayStation, they were showing off games and they're showcasing the different things like that, like a month or two before the console launch. So I mean,
yeah.
It just seems like Microsoft, it seemed like Microsoft was more prepared, but as we got closer to launch, it seemed like they were less prepared than Sony. I mean, it's just been crazy, this ride that we've been on.
Dude, Sony, when I tell you Sony thought about everything for this console, like the user interface is good, but mm-hmm. the controller as well really blew me away as well with this system. The triggers and everything, the adaptive triggers are some of the best triggers I've ever seen. Like, this is innovation that I want, not just in, I want this in all games, honestly. I don't know about you, but I need this in all games, like in all platforms, yeah. honestly. Because I'm surprised Microsoft doesn't have this. These triggers are not acting like this. That's crazy.
So like, for those of y'all listening on audio, I am holding in my hand right now the PlayStation 5 dual sync controller with the adaptive trigger, as Ryan was just discussing. And let me tell you all, when I say this thing is revolutionary, this thing is legit. I said on Twitter a day or two ago, I was playing Call of Duty Cold War on PlayStation 5. I was riding a train at some point in the game. And I kid you not, you all, as I was riding the train, the controller started giving me some haptic feedback. And it literally felt like I was on a train. Because you guys know you got that generic haptic feedback, but this one's not that generic haptic feedback. This one's actual, like, feeling like you're on a set of train tracks haptic feedback, which is just mind-blowing to me how the controller could actually simulate actually being on a train. It literally felt like I was on a train. I was blown away by that. So,
dude,
the controller is legit.
Some of these features on that controller, too. At one time, I thought I broke my controller, but I was always the haptic feedback. Because, you know, like in Demon's Souls, you get the bow and arrow. Mm-hmm. Tell me why the right trigger legit like stiffs up and it becomes a little harder for you to pull down. Like, yo, I didn't know it was going to do that. It did it seamless, though. That's the thing. It did it so seamlessly.
Yeah.
Like, okay, that's smart. I like this controller. I love that, man. I love what they've done. It's a dope package overall. Microsoft, I don't know what Microsoft was. I don't know. I'm surprised Microsoft didn't push that at all.
Well, I saw something on YouTube earlier today that Microsoft will indeed be bringing in similar technology to the Xbox at some point. So I guess it is. They're working on it. So I guess it's coming.
You know what it's going to be? An Elite Series
V3
is probably going to have it built into that. You know, it's going to be wireless and you can buy it. Yeah, there you go. Yep. You know what's sad? When dudes was comparing that to the DualSense, did you see like the breakdowns and all that stuff? People were comparing that one, the Elite Series, to DualSense?
I did not, but you can't really compare them because, number one, the Elite Series does not come with the Xbox. This is a $200 add-on.
Yeah. Now, check out Unbox Therapy. He's one of my best favorite YouTubers, but he had to compare. I was like, Lou, I see what you're doing. I see you, dog. But you have to compare a $200 controller to an $80 one?
Listen, man. Again, like Ryan said, this is a $200 controller. This Elite Series 2. This DualSense is $70-$80. Now, me personally, I prefer the Elite Series 2, but again, you're talking about a $200 controller. And for me, it just feels a little bit more comfortable. But
you got paddles. Yeah, it's built for that. You know, that's the thing.
I'm not going to take away from what the DualSense brings to the table with the technology, because it does not have the Elite does not have the technology that the DualSense have. I mean, the Elite does have haptic feedback and all that stuff, and it works well. But to actually simulate a specific experience and experience with the DualSense cannot be ignored. This thing is doing things that no other controller on planet Earth is doing with the DualSense, and I dig it. But if you're asking me which one do I feel more comfortable gaming with, the Elite Series for sure. But again, this is an add-on. This does not come with the console, and it's $200. So, I mean, we can't really talk about the Elite Series 2 F being a part of the Xbox Series F package because it's not a part of the package. It's not.
Really? You're paying the equivalent of another console because
it's literally
pretty much the same cost as the Series S, isn't it? That's the same
price. Almost, yeah. Almost. So
you're paying the equivalent of a Series S just for a controller, like for this.
Yeah.
And it's funny. I never thought I would ever say that about Microsoft having controllers like that. Because I was like, you know, there was only one place that we had to go to get controllers like that. And that was Scuff. Remember Scuff?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And Scuff rebranded the whole PS4 controller. They had like a new, brand new one. I forgot what it's called. It's called Impact. Yeah, Scuff Impact. That's what it's called. I wonder if they're going to do that for the DualSense. Interesting.
Probably, but I mean, I don't know how they're going to be able to mimic that technology, though. Let's only license it out, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, that's going to take a while for them to.
Yeah, I don't know if they're only going to do that because they know they have a hit on their hand with that technology. So I don't know. But as much as we're getting on Xbox, it's not all peaches and cream with the PlayStation 5. Like I said at the beginning, I've had multiple bugs. I've had multiple system crashes. It worked every time after the bug, but the bugs are still there. Also, yeah. There are some UI there. I mean, okay, let me go back. The PlayStation 5 UI, as a whole, I love it. It's definitely better than the Xbox's UI. I mean, Microsoft didn't even change their UI that much, but just the PlayStation 5 UI is cleaner and it's more user intuitive than the Xbox's UI. But Sony made some choices with the PS5 that have me scratching my head. Chief among them, the way you turn on, the way you turn off the PlayStation 5. Back on the PlayStation 4, you could turn it off with one button press.
Yeah.
On the PlayStation 5, I got to hit one button and then scroll down and scroll over to get to the part where I can turn the system off. What, Ryan, what the hell is Sony doing with this? Why did they go backwards with this?
Yeah, I don't know why they did that neither. That was the first thing because I was just so trained to do it from PS4. I was immediately holding the button. All it does, when you hold the button, guys, it takes you to the main like screen of the menu. Mm-hmm. And when you tap it, it takes you back to that personalized menu where it gives you like, you know, where your friends are playing, which you're playing, it shows your achievements. It's like, you know, it's like, bro, come on. Y'all could have thrown that back in there. I don't know why that was a thing. Also, my game crashed for the first, my system started crashing after the first patch for the console. Because mine ran perfect. I was like, okay, it runs good, no issues. The first software patch, I'm like, okay, cool. This is going to solve everybody's problem. Tell me why I'm getting crashes with my console being in rest mode. Tell me why my console's crashing after playing Miles.
Yeah.
Game's crashing after playing Demon's Souls. Then it was like, oh, corruption might happen, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, what? Bruh, come on. I got to get that on. I need to get that on. They fixed it, I think, with the second one. I don't think I had another issue since.
I don't know. I've been having crashing the issue even after, before the updates and after the updates. I'm still having crashing the issue.
Yeah.
The other thing that it kind of bothers me with PlayStation 5 is the storage situation. As we all know, you get 667 gigabytes of base storage.
Yeah.
Now, you can offload your PS4 games onto an external hard drive, so that's okay, I guess, but you can't really do that with PS5. The PS5 games, you can only access those games from within the internal hard drive, so there's no way to expand the storage for PS5 games right now, and Sony, they have the extra storage space inside of the PS5 locked up. They don't even have it available yet. I guess they're going to make it available at more hard drives, get out in the market that are they approve that can work with PS5. But right now, after launch, we have no way of expanding PS5 storage for PS5 games. And these games are huge, Ryan. I got 108 gigabytes left on my PS5. How many do you have?
Yeah, so me, I'm up to 300 again because I deleted these games. Because I've always been like this. Like, I've always deleted a game I'm done with. I don't hold a bunch of games on my hard drives.
That makes sense.
But, like, even if you buy one of those external ones, you know, you can plug in because, you know, Sony does support the SSDs, you know, external ones. Those are not safe. Like, my homie Solid Rev did this, and tell me why his console bricked. Like, it won't connect to the internet. Mm. So you do that with caution. You know, with caution. I wouldn't do this until everything's patched up. That's why I told everybody, just take your time. Don't worry about getting all this stuff immediately. Just wait. We're in the launch phase. We got to wait for everything to get approved because they haven't even, I don't think they approved like a whole bunch. Well, they approved some of these SSDs for the PS5, but not a whole lot that people really want to use with the system. You know, they haven't approved of, because remember, a lot of these SSDs have heat sinks on them and they might not be compatible with the actual system. So, you know, you got to be careful, but man, I didn't even bother. I was like, bro, I'm good with what we got for now.
Yeah, but even a Rich from Review Tech USA had an issue where he plugged in an external drive to MPF5 and it kind of crashed the system or whatever.
Yep.
So yeah, I Ryan said if you're gonna do that, might want to do that with caution.
Yeah, it's not even fast though. You gotta check the speed. Like everybody's going on my storage, they're not checking the speed of those SSDs that you're connecting to this unit. Like, bro, this is a fast unit. You need a fast SSD. So if you can't get the fastest SSD, don't even bother. Don't even bother connecting that to the
system. Yeah, and like I said again, the SSD that you could plug in, you can only offload PS4 games and play PS4 games from those SSDs. You can't do anything with PlayStation 5 games, I don't think, to the SSD. So
yeah, it won't work. As soon as you try a PS5 game, more like you'll get like maybe you'll get something that's probably scary. Like you'll get like an internal error and a break and something because a lot of people don't know these systems this time around they're really PCs this time around. If you think about it, but these are overclocked PCs, so they're running hotter. They're bigger. I was surprised by the size of PS5. It's almost up there to my tower PC here. Like
yeah, in terms
of, it's really big of a system. Yeah, so when systems are getting to that type of extreme in terms of size, we're pretty much on that road, so to speak, to where console gaming is getting more and more and more PC like, and we're getting to the line of Steam machines in a weird way.
I mean these are basically gaming PCs. That's what they are. They're PCs. They have SSD. They got CPU, GPUs. I mean, they are PCs and console bodies. That's what they are. It is what it is. The other issue that I have with PlayStation, it's kind of an issue for me, but it's not really an issue for the grand population, is that you can only buy a digital game from Sony. In the past, you could buy a digital game from pretty much any outlet that would sell you code for a digital game. But yep. Sony shut that down, I think, last year. On the Xbox side, you can buy a digital game from everywhere, and that's kind of cool because sometimes you can buy them at reduced prices in other places for Xbox. But
yeah, that's what they're doing. You notice Sony's store? Remember how Sony's been offering the Black Friday deals, them crazy deals they've been doing? Yeah, that's why they're trying to push their own stuff, and they think they slick with it. But I caught on to it immediately.
Oh yeah,
there's one site that a lot of us like to go to. It's called SCD Keys. You know what I'm talking about. A lot of us like to go to SCD Keys and either get discounts on like PS Plus or certain games.
Yeah.
We can't do that no more. At least as of this recording, I don't think we can do it for a while. We can't do it. Sony cracking down on these little sites. And I see what they're doing. They're trying to get that full profit because for those that didn't know, spoiler alert, Sony games, Sony PlayStation, the exclusive ones, at least for now, are $70.
Yeah.
We're not sure if all third-party devs are on board yet. Like, I checked the store. Hitman 3 is $60, which I was shocked by.
Mm.
But that doesn't mean that everything from that is going to be $60. That's the thing. That's the scary part. If everything's $70...
Oh, it's coming. It's not a matter of if. It's only a matter of when. But the other important thing that we need to realize is that anything that Sony sells out of their PlayStation store, they get, if it's not a third-party, if it's a third-party game, they get 30% of the profits. So they get 30% cut. So obviously Sony wants that money, so they're going to cut off any outside seller from selling digital goods as they can, because that money that they lose. Microsoft doesn't care. Microsoft makes more money than the Earth. There's no planet Earth. Microsoft doesn't care where you buy your game from. They're going to make money regardless. But Sony wants all the money that they can make, so they don't want anybody messing with their 30% cut. So that's why they cut off all the outside sellers from selling their digital goods, because that takes money out of their pocket. Like I said, any non-first-party game that sell from PlayStation Store, Sony gets 30% of an ad cut, just like Apple in the App Store, Google in the Play Store. These digital stores are pretty much all uniform as far as how much they take from for a ad cut. Sony takes 30% of, I should say ad, but they take a 30% cut for revenue and things like that. So that's money that Sony is going to make, and they're not going to allow any outside seller to cut into that. So there you go.
Yeah. That's why I told everybody to. A lot of people asked me, was I buying that Pulse 3D headset for Sony? I was like, it looks cool, but I'd rather wait for like the big budget third party ones. That's usually the ones that like really, the comfortable ones, built with longevity in mind. So
let's talk about that real quick, because I did buy the Sony Pulse 3D headset and I ended up returning it to Walmart today. I brought it, I returned it, and I think I returned it because Turtle Peach sent me out the Stealth 700 Gen 2, which I love. Those things are amazing. So, but I still wanted to buy the, I brought the Sony one because they had like, I know Sony PlayStation 5 had that 3D audio, and I wanted to make sure I wasn't missing out on that. But number one, the Pulse 3D headset didn't really fit my head all that well, so I wasn't really feeling it from jump. But number two, after playing a game or two with him, I'm just like, all right, this audio is okay, but it's not anything like
he didn't go all out. It's like, that's why I said, like, it's $100, guys. Yeah. I don't see it blowing us away. No, maybe
not blowing me away, not at all.
Sound, maybe, you know, because, you know, that's how the first one were. But I didn't see that thing.
Yeah, really. It did not blow me away at all. My Turtle Beaches definitely sound better in my opinion. So I'm like, you know what? They went back to Walmart. So if you can't, I mean, a lot of people are buying them because they seem to be selling out, but there are definitely much better headset options out there besides the Sony Pulse 3D. So
Sennheiser 600s. I was getting ready to get those.
Which ones?
I was getting ready to buy Sennheiser 600s.
Oh, okay.
I think I was going to buy it. Those little open back ones. Those ones looked really, really good. I was like, no, let me just wait. Just wait for these new ones.
So we got a question in the chat from Anthony. He says, do you think Sony will make a cloud gaming a service like Xbox? Probably at some point. I don't know if they're gonna do right away.
Yeah, they kind of already have one. You think about it.
They got PlayStation Now, but it's only on the console, right?
Yeah, that's kind of rebrand. If they want to do that like that, just rebrand it, restructure it. And the way Sony's been moving, I would not be surprised if they restructured that into, you know, what you think. So it could happen.
They have PlayStation Now, which allows you to stream games directly to your PlayStation 4 or 5, but you can't game anywhere with that. Well, you can't game anywhere like you can with xCloud and things like that. But I have Xbox Game Pass Ultimate. I'm not playing games on my phone, y'all. I'm not doing that. I'm just sorry. I mean, it's nice to have that feature, but I don't see myself ever using it. So it is what it is.
But it's not ideal. Like, even that controller they were trying to sell, like that little attachment for your phone where you connect. I don't see people using that. And then I saw patents for like a new like mobile controller thing. I was like, you know, that might work. But at the same time, do I really see people? Is it practical enough for one? And do I see people actually using it? That's a good question. You know, it was like going back to the, you remember the SP, the Game Boy Advance? It kind of like an SP, like on steroids.
Mm-hmm. All right, so a couple other tidbits about PlayStation before I start talking about Xbox a little bit. PlayStation supports Wi-Fi Sync, which is pretty cool. If you have a Wi-Fi Sync router, that's cool. Allow for faster game downloads. I have noticed in my experience that the PlayStation 5 download games a lot faster than my Series X. Not sure why that is, but it is what it is, and I enjoy it. It's a beautiful thing. Sony, the PS5 does not support Dolby Atmos or Dolby Vision, which like the Xbox does, but I don't know how many people will actually have the equipment to take advantage of those things, so I don't know if that's a big deal or not, but just something to point out anyway.
Yeah.
Let's see what else is going on. If you are recording gameplay from your PlayStation 5, apparently it can do it a lot longer than you can do it on Xbox. I think you can record it to like an hour, depending on if you're recording 4K or 1080p. But you can record like an hour of gameplay. I think Ryan would know more than this because he probably does more with this than I do. But yeah, I'll let you break that down.
Yeah, in terms of gameplay, you can record more on PS5. Another thing Sony did with the whole recording feature, now you guys already know it takes a screenshot of everything you do, like for trophies, and now also does video clips of trophies too. So when it captures like the last 5 seconds of the initial to the trophy, so that's what it does. So yeah, it does stuff like that.
Okay, now the one thing that is annoying to me about PlayStation 5 though is that if you take screenshots and clips and things like that, you can only share those directly from the system. You can't like move it to the app like you can with Xbox. The Xbox, you can go directly to the app and then you can like download it or do what you want to do from the Xbox app.
Yeah.
The PlayStation 5, you have to do it directly from the system, and that's kind of annoying. I wish they could do it from the app.
Yeah, that's why they're trying to push photo mode in some of these, a lot of these games, so that you edit it and end the game, then take a screenshot. But I'm like, that doesn't really solve the problem. A lot of people want to do more than just that. But hey, I mean, that's them.
Yeah. So before I went live on this podcast, I was trying to look for like different like next generation game breaking features on PlayStation 5. And honestly, I didn't really find much, if any. Now, I know that the PlayStation 5 has this activity thing that allows you to go directly into a third part of a game to complete an activity. I mean, that's cool if you want to do that. I don't see myself using that much, but I mean, it's there for you to use. And that's pretty cool if you want to do that. Another cool thing I think that you can do with PlayStation 5, which I have not done yet, is that it has a picture-in-picture mode, so you can like watch your friends play their game while you play your game. I haven't used it yet, but I guess, I mean, if you're deep in a party like that, you can do that. I mean, that's good for you.
SharePlay. I don't know if you remember SharePlay for PS4, Remember how Shaq played with Crash? Well, it wouldn't crash, but it would like close your game, suspend it, and then you can join your PS, like your friend's PS4, what he's streaming. On PS5, obviously, that's a thing in the past. You don't do that no more. It shows up on your screen, but you can put it in picture-picture. And then PS5 will ask you, like, hey, what do you want this picture-picture? Do you want it on this side, that side? And you just put it there, and then you can still play and watch what your friend's doing at the same time.
So that's pretty cool. If you game with friends a lot, then that's definitely a cool feature to be able to do. Although, if you are gaming yourself, I don't know if you want to have part of your game screen taken up by a picture-in-picture box. That's kind of a little intrusive, a little bit, but it's a cool feature to have, though.
Yeah. I did that with my friend Kyle. Like, we played Tekken 7, so it was funny. We was like going, "I mean, electric can you do?" I was like, "Okay, yeah, let's test that theory." And I was doing electric, and he was showing his. I was like, "Okay, so that's cool for that."
Definitely. The other thing, I have one more thing I wanted to talk about, but I'll forget it.
Did you talk about the network? How the data cap limit's been removed?
No. What do you mean data cap limit?
So on PS4, your internet was data capped. That's why there was only so much you can do on PS4. You could download at a certain speed. PlayStation 5, that is a thing of the best.
Well, that's
the internet is that best.
Okay, a lot of people have unlimited internet, so that's good that they removed the data cap. Yep. I'm wondering if that's kind of reason why the Xbox download game store, because Microsoft has some type of server cap in place. It's kind of annoying.
Yeah.
But now let's move on to talking about Xbox, because like I said, I spent more of my time honestly on my Xbox Series X than my PS5. And that's just because there's a few quality of life things that are going on Xbox that I just enjoy like crazy. Two of the most important ones are instant on and quick resume. Instant on, it's not a big deal, but it kind of is. I mean, if you just want to get right to the desktop, you hit one button, 2 seconds later, you are into the Xbox UI and you're good to go. There, I don't even think there's a computer that boots up as fast as my Xbox Series X. It is instant. It's craziness. But the other thing that I just cannot stop talking about, as you guys know, is Quick Resume. When they first announced Quick Resume, I saw people making videos about it. I was just like, I'm not going to use that ever. No, I'm not going to use that. But then I got my Xbox Series X, and I started installing game after game after game, and I'm playing game after game after game. Quick Resume is a quality of life enhancement that you didn't know you needed, and now you can't live without it. At least me, I can't live without it. The ability for me to jump from game to game to game and pick up right where I left off without no loading screen or anything like that is just mind-blowing. I really wish something like this was on PS5, but it's just not there. But damn, man, Quick Resume is amazing. I can't shut up about it. It's that good.
Yeah. I tried it with that switcher thing on PS5. You know what I'm talking about? Like when you press the button and you go to the left, it says switch to this game. I thought they had it for a second. I'm like, wait, do they have it? And it's like, nah, you don't. It goes to the whole animations, the whole intro. It's like, damn, they don't have it. But it is definitely a cool feature. I like that you can just like pause one particular game and go back to where you left off with the other without having necessarily like close it and then rewind when you were. That is a big deal. I know a lot of people trying to downplay, like, well, I don't see myself using. I'm like, my dude, it's a big deal. And you would probably be using this, especially if you're someone who just likes to play with a certain group of friends. You can be right there, ready to go there. And some people go, well, no, this is not me. I'm like, well, here's the thing. Another thing this is useful for is guys who like to stream games. They can go right back to where they were. Yep. Continue playthrough. Wow. It's another big deal. So again, people don't think about the long term role. They just think about it at all. Yeah, that's the long term role. So it's cool.
Yeah, quick resume, like I said. I spend a lot of my time on Xbox just for my ability to quick resume. The fact that I can jump between Madden and Assassin's Creed and Watch Dogs instantly is legit. Now it doesn't always work. Sometimes it's crashing for whatever reason, and I have to start from the title screen. So that kind of sucks. But when it works, and it works most of the time, It is next. It's next generation featured stuff, type stuff, man. Wish it was on PS5. Like I said, the other things about Xbox that I don't like: games download slower on the Xbox 3X. Here's the thing: I had my Xbox 3X hardwired into my router to get the fastest possible speed.
Yeah,
but it's still downloading slow as hell. So what I did earlier today, I switched to Wi-Fi, and it seems like the games are downloading faster now that I'm on Wi-Fi, which I just don't understand for the life of me. But I don't know. They still download faster on PS5, but I mean, I don't understand why my Xbox downloads games wirelessly faster than hardwired. That's kind of weird to me, but that's my experience today, and I just find that very interesting. Also, I'll go ahead.
No, I agree.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. Yeah, normally, in regular world physics, you get faster connection being hardline instead of wireless, but not in this case, but whatever. The other thing is that the Xbox does support Dolby Vision and Dolby Atmos, so that's pretty cool if you have the technology to take advantage of that. So that's pretty cool.
No Wi-Fi 6, though.
I don't know.
I don't understand that. That was a big step. That's a big deal. Like, people are like, oh, no, that's not a big deal. That's a big deal for the console.
Why is it? Like, that attributes to those download fees. That's why the PlayStation 5 probably downloading uber fast, although I don't have a Wi-Fi 6 router yet. But still noticing that the PlayStation 5 download games faster. Now, when I do get my Wi-Fi 6 router, it's probably going to download games even more faster than
Xbox. When I unboxed the system, I download, because I had the games on disc. I had Miles and Demon Souls on disc. I plug in Miles. I'm sitting there going, okay, watch this thing say like 3 hours or something like that, because, you know, their internet was atrocious. That thing said 10 minutes.
Yep.
And I'm sitting here live streaming, doing, okay, I could definitely wait this one off. We waited off. And not only did this game not, like, first of all, like, it has another thing too. Like, the first initial impression when you first launch one of these games and play them, Miles Morales blew me away. Ooh. And didn't even start the gameplay yet. I'm talking about when you just started up and you on the train and it says press start and you go through the settings. I'm sitting going, guys, this looks phenomenal. I haven't even started the gameplay yet. And I had gameplay. Right. He starts walking off the train. You see the beat and all. They're like, yo, this is next gen. And what I do got to give props to these next gen consoles for, they are definitely outshining the PC in terms of like boot up.
Oh, yeah.
That's something I wasn't expecting either. These games are legit instant. Like, there's no load time. And I was like, okay, I like this. I like what they're doing. So,
yeah, for whatever reason, in Watch Dogs Legion, anytime you open a door, you have it going through loading screen. But hey, it's that's so quick.
Yeah, that's a cross-gen title. It was made for PS4 and Xbox One.
I mean, so. But like, I even though there's loading screen, it's like it just go right by. It's like pretty instant. But yeah, loading speeds on both consoles are pretty fast. Obviously, slightly fast on PlayStation 5 because of the faster SSD over there. But I mean, still pretty fast on Xbox Series X as well. So no complaints there.
Yeah.
The other thing that's cool about the Xbox Series X is that it has slightly more internal storage than the PlayStation 5. You get about 800 gigs of free storage when you boot it or when you turn it on. Obviously, only get 600 and something on the PlayStation. However, the Xbox does have that expandable storage option that PlayStation 5 does not have. So if you do find yourself using up all your internal Xbox storage, you do have an option to expand that storage for next generation games. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm gonna be like the price of an Elite controller for...
Yeah. Yes.
1 terabyte.
That is correct, but hey, you know, if you've got a lot of games, you don't care. You don't care.
Something, but at the same time, I'm wondering how long it's going to take for them to get to like 3 terabytes. That's really what people want. That's the sweet spot there.
Yeah, that would be cool. I mean, I'll take a 2 terabyte one. That'd be nice.
Yeah, 2 terabyte would also be a nice addition. But also, too, those SSDs, I've been heard. Like, I heard a lot of people say those things get hot. And I was like, well, that's going to be interesting, too, how they handle that, because those things are really going to get heated up over the years when you game on those. So
yeah, I mean, funny. Everybody kept talking about how hot the system gets. I've been, like, trying to, like, feel them with my hands, and they do get pretty warm. I mean, nothing crazy, but they get warm.
Yeah.
But computers get warm, especially under load.
Yeah, I think it's natural. Like some of those consoles, like, again, I worked retail before where I was just unloader and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And I know a lot of dudes tend to just take stuff and like don't necessarily gently put it on the pallets. They kind of like toss it to the side type of thing.
Yeah.
Yep. So probably that also played a factor in some of these defective units. I can already see that being the case. But
it wouldn't surprise me. People are not always gentle, for sure. For sure. The other thing that I have to complain about with the Xbox is the UI. Number one, they didn't really change it from the Xbox One X or Xbox One for the PlayStation for the Xbox Series X. But the more annoying thing is that it cluttered AF. There's way too much going on with the Xbox UI. I love how clean and user intuitive the PlayStation 5 UI is compared to the Xbox UI. It's like going from a clean house to a hoarder house. I'm like, what is happening here, Microsoft? Why is this UI so cluttered? Can you please clean it up? There's like too much going on. I mean, don't get me wrong. I can still use it and do what I need to do on it, but it's just too cleared. They need to clean that up a lot. I hope they clean up in an update in the future, but they need to clean it up because it's too cluttered. It's way too cluttered.
Yeah.
It don't make no sense. But yeah.
I miss the Windows from the 360 style. Should I say you don't have like a legacy mode where you can go back to the 360s user?
Oh. Uh-huh. Yeah. The good old days, right? But yeah, man, I guess over the first month of having both consoles, I'm enjoying playing all the games on both of the consoles. I think Spider-Man is the only game I actually beat. So that was pretty cool. Finishing that story. What's that?
What you thought about Miles?
Oh, that game was amazing. The story was amazing. I mean, I never finished the original Spider-Man, but I finished Miles Morales and the story. But even though I didn't finish the original Spider-Man, going through that story was amazing. That was probably any better than any movie story I've ever seen in my life. And they just picked up right where they left off with Miles Morales, because that story on there is legit. Like, I definitely enjoyed the story.
The presentation alone in that game, like even when you're going through the city and he does like that little those little tricks, like when he like puts his hands behind his head and kind of looks at the screen. It's like they did so much to this game where it just looks like it, like a legit world. It's like, man, it is.
And it's funny, like when I'm going, like when I'm web swinging through the streets, when I'm low to the ground, people are like, "Hey, Spider-Man, go take a picture with me. Hey, Spider-Man," blah, blah, blah. They try to talk to me and things like that. That was cool.
They asked for high fives.
Right. I did that. Yep, I did that. Pretty cool, right? The other cool thing about Spider-Man is that, like, and this is kind of like a gameplay tweak thing that I noticed that is pretty cool. When you're not swinging, you can hear the city and things like that, and like everything that's going on around you. But the moment you start web swinging, they play this like theme and beat. I just found out kind of cool that he's like his own little theme song as he's swinging through the city. Though I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, to get the beat. And they did that in the first one.
Yeah, as soon as he starts swinging, the beat just comes on. And that beat from Miles is pretty fire.
Yeah. Especially with his uncle. I know, you know, talking about his uncle, but when you get that certain suit, man, that was really cool with the beats of the song.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. I'm not going to give away any spoilers, but I did not expect that plot to the identity of the Tinkerer. I did not see that coming. That was pretty cool. Yeah. Not expecting that at all. All right, so like I told you guys in the beginning, I've been requested that I do call-ins for the show today, so I'm going to let you guys call in and give us your opinions about PlayStation and Xbox. So y'all know the number to Vibe Line is 219-440-1003. You got me and Big Cloud Gaming here for a few minutes. If you guys want to call in and have your questions answered with me and Ryan, there's the number. I can only take one call at a time, so if you don't get through, just try calling back. We'll try to take as many calls as we can in the next like 10 or 15 minutes, and then we'll get out of here. But yes, the Vibe Line is open for you guys to call and discuss. Which one do you have? Do you have the Xbox Series X or Series S? Do you have a PlayStation 5? Are you enjoying your consoles? Let us know, man. Let us know. Call us up. So now, Demon Souls, Ryan, what are you doing next? What's your next objective?
So the first thing I platinum was Miles. Now Demon Souls is done. So more likely for me, I'll probably try out Astrobot just to see what's up. Because everybody keeps saying, "Oh, Ryan, Astrobot is so good. It's like it should be a mascot type of thing."
I have not played that yet.
Yeah, it's him, Astrobot. But I'm like,
here we go.
Play Astrobot. Oh, okay. Call from.
That'll be clutch.
To accept, press 1. To send a voicemail.
Yo, Clutch, what's up, man? I know you've been waiting for me to open up the live, man. What's going on? How you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing all right, man. How you doing? How you doing?
Doing good, man. What's on your mind?
Yeah, no, man. I just got something to say about this PS5 versus Xbox Series X thing. So, down here in Canada, it seems like a one, meaning, like, what they're releasing here, PS5s are slim to none.
Mm-hmm.
When the big box stores get them, they're gone right away. And I know the U.S. is, you know, have more stores in the U.S. and whatnot, but, you know, when you go on Facebook Marketplace or you go on Kijiji in Canada, the prices fluctuate. I was looking for a PS5. It's $525 with tax. But if you go on the Marketplace, it's going for like $800-$900. You know what I mean? And I understand that's how it works with how the business works. You know, you buy something or resell it. I get it. So I was in a digital line. That's what a couple of the stores have down here when you're waiting for one of these days. And Best Buy, that's like Canada, they put up the link. Series X available. Well, what was I supposed to do? I went for the PS5. My wife looks at me and says, "Hey, either you go get that Series X right now or wait in the line for a PS5 that you may not get at all." I just said, you know what? I got to do what I got to do. When it's the Best Buy, got the Series X, and you know, I'm happy about it. But at the same time, like you guys were saying, there's a lot of bugs with it. Twitch, I think 1080 output. They're waiting for a patch for that because it's a flat screen. Mm. You try to stream 1080. I've had a couple scratch. I've had a couple freezes so far. Going through different apps and stuff like that. The YouTube app has crashed a couple times. A couple games have crashed a couple times. Even a couple freezes. So, I mean, at the end of the day, just waiting for a pass for these things. But, I mean, early adopter, right? That's what you get. That's what you get when you're early adopter. You just have to roll with it, and eventually things will straighten out, hopefully.
Yeah, man, like I said earlier, if you are on the bleeding edge and you get one of the first batches of these next generation consoles, you are going to experience bugs. No matter which one you get, they're both buggy AF. It just happens with all new console releases and all new tech releases in general.
It's the price of being an early adopter. That's the thing.
Early. So why?
Sure, the business, man. Yeah, I know.
Definitely. What was that? I was saying, so while we got you here, let me let you guys know that if you guys are still looking for one of these next generation consoles, at least here in the US, I have a couple of tips for you that can help you out. There is a site that I use to get my Xbox Series X called popfinder.com. It's spelled P-O-P.
Heard of it, yeah.
Yep, it's a P-O-P-F-I-N-D-R. No E in it. It's P-O-P-F-I-N-D-R.com. Popfinder has inventory for Target, Best Buy, Walmart, Sam's Club, like a bunch of different stores. And their inventory is inventory in real time. So I kid you not, I was looking for an Xbox Series X because both Microsoft and Amazon screwed me on the pre-order. I woke up one morning looking for a Series X, and I expanded my search to like an 80-mile radius. So I saw that there was a Target 80 miles away that had 8 in stock. And that Target was opening in 15 minutes. So I'm like, all right, Viper, this place opens in 15 minutes. It's a 90-minute drive, 80 miles, but they got 8. So you either take the chance and go get one, or you don't take the chance. So I got in my car, and I started driving 80 miles north to Wisconsin for my Series X. As I'm driving, I'm still checking inventory to make sure that I'm still like in a good position here. I got 30 minutes into my drive, and I'm checking Popfinder. And I'm noticing that, they're starting to sell. They're down to 6. So I'm like, I'm putting out 4. They're out 4 in the gas. So I get there about an hour. I think it took me like an hour, 10 minutes. So I got there, and they still had like, and funny, because when I got there, I saw a guy walking out of the store with one with a Series X. I'm like, all right, I'm definitely good at there. That's the other thing. Sometimes when you go into the store, they'll tell you that they don't have none. Even though they do, they won't sell them to you. So I'm kind of worried about that too. But once I saw him walking out, I'm like, all right, we good. So I walked into Target. I got there. I got my Series X, and I was good to go. But popfinder.com, especially for Target inventory, is a good place to look. There's also a site for Walmart. I think it's called BrickSeek or BrickSeed. I think it's, let me see which one it is. They will give you Walmart inventory if you if Walmart has stock for Series X or PlayStation 5. Yeah, BrickSeek. So you guys go to BrickSeek, and that's BrickSeek.com. At Walmart inventory at BrickSeek, and if you see your Walmart nearby that has them, I would say go ahead and see if you can get them, because before they weren't really selling to walk-ins. They were doing mostly online only, but I think now that all the holiday stuff in past, now they're taking walk-ins. So if you go to popfinder.com or BrickSeek.com and you see that they have stock of what you want, go get it. Don't even waste time. And the most important thing, do not call these stores and ask them if they have inventory. If you see it online at one of these sites, just go. Don't call, because they're not going to be honest with you on the phone. Go in there, see if they got what they said they have, and then you'll have a much better chance of just going in there. Don't call them. Just don't call them.
Yeah, it's going to take like 2021 for everything.
Go ahead, Clutch.
Okay, yeah, no, like, that's the thing in Canada right now. There's no walk-ins, right? When they say online only, it's actually online only. That's the problem, I think. While in the States, you can still go walk in and get a system. It's available from Canada. You walk in, they say, nope, we don't have any. Even though they may have a couple in the back, they just tell you straight up no. So kind of sucks that that's the case right now. But, you know, I have patience. I have patience. So I'll wait. But I do really want that piece of mine.
Hey, man, I mean, if you want it, you can get it, man. It's a lot of work, though. I mean, it's hard to find right now. But if you want it, you can get one. You just got to keep grinding, man. No doubt.
Yeah, that's what I've been doing, yeah.
No doubt, man.
Keep at it, yeah.
No doubt. No doubt. You'll get it. I mean, and like Ryan said, I mean, at this point, waiting is not the worst thing anyway because of all the bugs that are going on anyway.
Mm-hmm.
All right, man. I appreciate the call, Clutch. Thanks.
The thing is, though,
go ahead.
Oh, yeah. No problem. You take care.
All right. You all, the Vibe line is open again for anybody else that wants to call. Big Mosley, the Stock Finder for Target and Pop Finder. Like I just put in the chat, there it is. popfindr.com. Check their Target inventory. They have Target inventory for Xbox and PlayStation in real time. If you see anything near you that has stock, go get it. Like I said, do not call these stores. They're not going to tell you the honest answer. Just go in there and get one. If they got them in stock, they got them in stock. I mean, they might give you the BS about only online only, but at this point, we're past that. I mean, if they got them in stock, they got them in stock. So just go in there and get you one.
Mm-hmm.
So, Ryan, I know you're a PS Dubo. I think you're planning on getting a Series X at some point. When do you think you might go after one of those?
When they drop something that warrants a purchase. if you want my honest opinion, you drop something that's worth a purchase. I already got the system that everybody wanted, you know, and I barely got that. And shout out to DualShockers, they gave me the link for it. So,
bro, when you say you barely got it, me and you both, man, I mean, I was lucky that somebody like DM'd me about that let me know that they were alive for pre-order. But man, yeah. I mean, I wasn't even ready because we thought they were going to go on pre-order the next day, but then they went on pre-order the same day as the PlayStation. I mean, I'm like, oh, bro, what is happening here? It was rough.
Like when it went live, because remember they told us midnight. This is what Jim Ryan said. He said like around midnight, something like that. Pre-orders are going to go live. I was like, okay, cool. Midnight, I'm going to be ready. Man, I went and took a quick little nap. My phone's going off, and my PC's doing the Discord sound. You know, the call. I wake up from this. I'm like, what's up? I have homie Big Mike from DualShockers at the time, and a few others from DualShockers hit me up going, yo, Ryan, did you get your PS5 pre-order? And I was like, no, they go live at midnight. Ryan, they're live right now. I'm like, where? They're live at Target, they're live at Walmart.
Everywhere.
I was like, really? Oh man, what about Amazon? Amazon hasn't released theirs yet. So like around 11:30.
Yeah,
that's when I got hit the link from, you know, DualShockers. They're like, hey, Ryan, get yours in. Get it. So I went for the digital one. Well, unfortunately, it took me straight to the physical one. I was like, you know what, whatever. I took the physical, bought it.
Yeah, it's funny that you say that, because when I found out that they went live that day, I originally got my first pre-order from Walmart. But again, like you said, I wanted a digital one, but they didn't have any digital. So I just got I pre-ordered the disc version originally. But then Amazon went live later that night, like you said, around 11:30-ish, and I was able to secure a digital pre-order from Amazon. So I ended up canceling my physical order from Walmart because I got a digital pre-order from Amazon. But yeah, it was crazy trying to get that pre-order in with all these box crashing these sites. It was madness.
Yeah, and I wish Sony handled that a little better, like with their whole I think they said they were going to send like an email for everybody to get their hands on one. You know, talking about that invitation.
Yeah,
it's basically like you taking a number and you waiting in line. Like they go, hey, number 58, please step forward to the line. That's basically what they were trying to do. They were trying to maintain it, which I thought was smart. The problem is they didn't do it right. It should have been for PS Plus users first.
You would think so.
Yeah, they didn't think that through. So
but then again, I don't know if I can knock them for how they handle it, because they handled it in such a way where the bot couldn't eat up everything originally. So we actually had a chance to get in there and get ours before the bot got wind of it, man. Whew.
Yeah, right now it's crazy. You got dudes making TikTok videos with like 7 of them, 20 of them behind them. I'm like, bro, do you have a life? Like, come on, man. Like,
yeah, people being completely douches about this situation, man. We have the bot retailers stacking like thousands of systems up there, trying to sell them for like $800, $900, $1,000 on eBay and other reselling sites. I'm like, man, y'all not right. Y'all not right, man. Y'all are not right.
UK, one of their shipments got stolen in the UK too at Amazon. It was crazy.
Oh wow.
Yeah, like they broke in and opened the boxes. And instead of just like, you know, instead of just taking the contents, you know what they did? They added insult to injury. They put like food and stuff in the boxes.
Oh man, yeah, that's
really disgusting. Like, come on, man. Even like some of the delivery drivers were stealing packages.
Yeah, I thought Rich from Review Tech, just did a video about how some Amazon driver got caught on tape stealing a boy PlayStation 5. Like, come on, man.
My dog, it ain't that bad. It ain't that rough. It's really not that rough. You can wait to 2021. Seriously, don't be that guy. Like, come on.
Yeah, just don't do that. Don't be an asshole. Don't do that.
Steal somebody's moment. You know, that's the thing, too. Knowing that.
How you doing somebody's birthday or Christmas present, man? Come on now.
Yeah, that's disgusting. Like,
it really is. But again, I'm having fun on both systems. Oh yeah, the other thing I didn't talk about, the voice chat on PlayStation Network is astounding, man. I was talking to my man Josh Quinones on voice chat, where it's crystal clear, almost like taking a phone call. Man. It's amazing.
Yeah, did you take advantage of that other feature? Instead of like typing everything, you just speak to the controller, have the controller
I don't know if El Jefe still watching, but I literally had a conversation on my DualShock DualSense controller with my man El Jefe review. It is absolute buffoonery that you can have a conversation on the controller because it has a microphone on it. It's crazy.
I did that job sitting there going, they were saying, hey Ryan, do you like the PS5? I was like, record. Yes, I like the PS5, it's awesome. And Jordan said, okay, yes, I like the PS5, awesome. Okay, sin. It's where we're back to the game. That's literally how seamless it is. It's really good.
Seriously, it literally is seamless, man. It's great. There's some cool features.
Quality of life changes that needed to happen. Even their streaming aspect. I haven't streamed directly from the PS5. I heard it was it's pretty good. They've changed a few things. So
yeah, I think you can stream on both the Xbox and the PS5. So that's pretty cool. I don't know. I know Sony still has that extra camera that you can do that for. I don't know how Xbox handles that, but I know Sony has the camera, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah, no Facebook or I think it was Facebook, right? No Facebook integration anymore, so that's not in PS5. For those of you wondering, that's
I don't think people care.
I don't care though, but it's not nobody in there. Dynamic themes is another thing that I was kind of interested in seeing they were going to bring back, maybe in the updates, but they haven't done it yet. So
gotcha. Oh yeah, I think Xbox just added some to the and their recent updates to Series X and that. So that's pretty cool. I will say that I'm kind of glad that Sony took a different approach than Microsoft with the Series S. We got the PlayStation 5 disc and the PlayStation 5 digital. They are the exact same console, only one is discless and the other one has a disc drive. That is the only difference. I love how Sony handled that instead of Microsoft's approach where they give you the Xbox Series X and then you got a Series X, which is a completely different console, pretty much. But it's discless, but it's a participation trophy, pretty much. And y'all know how I feel about participation trophies on the channel, but it's done now.
Yeah, the design of PS5 looks really, really good. With the disc version, I still was blown away. I still remember my reaction to it when I first saw it. I was like, yo, it looks like a cross between an alien wearing a tower type thing. I like what they've done here. Like, you know, like a cool little approach. They even got the V. I was really talking about that. Like, they always got the V in the front of it. That's cool.
Yeah, and definitely PlayStation 5 design has definitely been polarizing, but I love it. I love it a lot. I think it looks amazing.
Yeah. But I think the digital outdoes it all the way. Like, it just looks more, you know what I'm saying? It looks more like just like it was meant for digital. Like, it looks dope. Like, it has that cool effect. Like, it's all the way on the stand. You think about it, there's like no gap in between it. It just looks perfectly, you know, just perfectly around it. I was like, oh, dude, that's how the system should look. But yeah,
the digital is amazing. It looks amazing. I mean, but people are saying that the Xbox Series X looks boring and things like that. I think it looks good too. I mean, obviously, I like the PlayStation 5 design better, but the Xbox looks good too, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, from what these dudes had to work with, for one, and for what they had to like get out there to mass produce, because remember, these are overclocked PCs, and a lot of things that black people don't understand is like, well, overclocked PCs, you have to worry about tips. You got to worry about the stuff with fans and all that. So when they went with these designs, I was really interested. Like, you remember that video I did about liquid metal cooling for PS5? Mm-hmm. And then they confirmed the liquid metal cooling. You should see my face. You should see my face. I was sitting there going, dog, that is exactly what y'all need right there, because thermal paste in general was the downfall of the first Xbox designs. That's one of the reasons why the Xbox had rubbing his deaths. They had the thermal paste wasn't good, stuff like that. So I thought that was good that they thought that through. But Series X with their whole chimney design, you know, as heat rises, it was cool. It was smart how they did it.
Yeah, I am so glad we are so far past the Red Ring of Death. I don't know what to do. We are way past that.
Yeah, that's one thing I'll say. There hasn't been, I don't think there's been a, well, I wouldn't say there has been an instant, but some people had, you know, dead consoles, but we haven't had nowhere near what Microsoft had with the 360 and nothing like that with these consoles. So that's
no
major path.
Like I said, we both experienced bugs on our consoles. They are definitely buggy, but nothing nearly close to the Red Ring of Death situation like what 10, 15 years ago. So yeah, definitely legit. All right, I'm gonna give you a couple more minutes. If anybody wants to call in and talk to me or Ryan one-on-one, you got about 2 or 3 minutes before I wrap this show up. But appreciate you guys watching and hanging out, and thank you to Ryan for joining me on another episode of Vibe Drive. Especially on such short notice, man. I appreciate you hopping in.
It's always a pleasure to talk to you.
Definitely. But I'm going to give you guys 2 or 3 more minutes. If you want to call in and talk to me or Ryan, let me know, man. Other than that, we're going to get up out of here. Ryan, Cyberpunk 2077, do you have any interest?
Okay, so...
Here we go. Oh, boy.
Here we go. Okay, Cyberpunk 2077. A lot of you said I was being harsh on the game because I was like, oh, Ryan, you know, they're doing this, that, and that. I was like, guys, I'm not saying the game doesn't look amazing from what we saw, but let's keep it real buck here. They cut out a lot of features that they were hyping up for the jump, like customization. Like, where is the third person mode that we were going to get? Where is all that? I'm like, y'all talking about customization? Bro, I can't even see the customization when I do this stuff.
Right.
All the cutscenes that you were talking about, the third person ones, y'all removed and redid to first person. So a lot of people saying they didn't remove the cutscenes. No, they redid it. That's what they understand. They redid them, but they're in first person. So you don't see your character unless you're conveniently looking at a mirror or something. I'm like, who in God's name is going to be looking at mirrors in these cutscenes? Like, come on, man. So, I don't understand that. Then they were like, we're not going to have any microtransactions in this game. We'll leave greed to others. I'm sitting going, okay, that's a bold statement.
Yeah.
Few months before launch, what happened? Oh, microtransactions are going to be added to the game. And dude was like, well, that's for the multiplayer. I'm like, guys, stop. They said no. Microtransactions of any kind were in this game, and dude was like, no, y'all being too harsh. That's for the multiplayer. It makes sense for multiplayer. I'm like, listen, I'm not saying it doesn't make sense, but you told me the opposite of what you're doing here. Like, come on, stop. And then they, what else did they do? They removed the parkour elements that was going to be added in there too. They took out parkour elements taken out. What else did they do to this game? I mean, good God.
Did they leave it at the table? Damn.
I mean, I saw people were doing screenshots. They were showcasing how the game was looking gameplay-wise compared to the trailer. You know how, like, when we first saw Keanu Reeves, mm-hmm. we took the glasses off, and they're comparing that to that. I was like, okay, that doesn't look like what was advertised. So, I don't know. The game might be a sleeper hit. The game might blow me away. But I'm treading on thin ice on this one. If I do buy it, it's definitely not going to be on neither one of these next-gen consoles. It would be more likely just to go with a safe bet and just get it on the PC and play it on PC, honestly. But we'll see. If they want $70 for that, yeah, I need to see. I got to see that in action, like running on systems. Because I don't know if you've seen their tagline. Like in their advertisement, but it was like, oh yeah, it runs great on PS5 and Series X too. I'm sort of going, wait, what you mean it just runs great on the? What's that supposed to mean? That's not really reassuring. What else are you doing with the game on Series X and PS5? Now they're talking about a patch is going to have to come for that to get like the 4K or something. It's like, I don't know. I can't.
Yeah, I mean, the version that we're getting on a few days is not even the next-gen version. We're getting the current-gen version, so that's there at that.
Yeah, so how long is that stuff going to be waiting? You know, that's another thing you got to ask yourself. How far are we away from this quote-unquote patch?
Right.
Remember they said crunch was something that they're not going through? They're just so they're so ahead of it that we got reports of crunch for the actual game. It's like, come on, man. I don't know. Then they were delayed it again. I was like, bro, this game's been delayed how many times?
Yeah, I was kind of joking. They say it's coming on the 10th, but I'm not holding my breath until it actually comes out.
Yeah, they keep delaying this game. I'm like, listen, if you delay it one more time, don't even release it on the current gen console. Just make it next gen only.
Seriously.
Dying Light 2, they immediately, you notice that, right? As soon as PS5 and Series X was announced, what did they do? Oh, it's delayed indefinitely. We're pushing this to PS5 and Series X. Resident Evil Village. I'm not sure if that's only PS5 and Series X. I think that's on every platform. But you notice how they were sly with it. They didn't say nothing since for current gen. They just kind of was like, yeah, PS5, Series X. They know these systems, those old systems are a problem. They're you know, maxed out.
Yeah, I was listening to somebody's live stream, and a question had came up. When can we call the next gen current gen? And I think somebody had said something about the next gen and currently current gen. I'm like, no. The next gen won't be current gen until we no longer care or worry about developing for the current gen system. So. Yeah. I think we got to wait like a couple of years before we can actually call next gen current gen, because as long as we're still worrying about the PS4 and the Xbox One, we're not current gen yet.
Yeah, like PS4 is still getting a lot of games.
Right,
it's still getting a lot. It's still selling a lot. It's still getting a lot of games. I don't know if you saw the prices for PS4 on Amazon, but the prices for PS4 and Pro went up on what? Amazon. Yeah, look at the Amazon. What? Like they were actually selling like crazy.
Okay, we're going to Amazon right now to check this out. I gotta check this out real quick.
Yeah, PS4 Pro is going up,
bruh. Wow,
see that?
Are they
only three in stock? Only three in stock. PlayStation 4 Pro, for $589.
I'm seeing I got one for $467. Wow.
See that? You got another one. You got a PlayStation 4 Pro. They got the limited edition Last of Us 2 bundle. They won $595.
And the bundle $589. Damn.
Yeah, see what I'm saying? These prices went up. So bro, the price went up, and I see why they're doing it. But you know, PS4 has got a lot of life in it. Like people are understanding.
They are selling PS4 Pro for more than the cost of a digital PS5.
Yep.
Wow.
I'm telling you, bro. Like PS4 got a lot of life in it. Oh, still,
the scalp game is heavy right now. The scalp game is heavy right now. Damn.
That PS4 got a lot of life in it. It's still doing well. I don't think they're gonna touch PlayStation 2 numbers, which was like 150. Oh. This is probably gonna stop like around 120 minimum, like sell wise for it. And that's incredible for them. That's 30 million short of their highest grossing console of all time. So that's a great gen for them. But as you're seeing with PS5, if they continue this trend, they can definitely break that if they keep this up. I mean, they got banger after banger like this. Yeah, you're gonna definitely get that milestone very soon. But the thing is, though, and it's always been an issue with Sony, and you can say this with Microsoft as well, they can't really dictate the market how it works, right? They just like make these bold predictions, and so they never can really appease the demand. They never get the demand on point with these consoles.
Like biggest obstacle right now is the demand, man. If they can meet the demand, they'd be selling a butt blow more than what they are already.
Yep.
But on that note, I think we're going to wrap up the podcast here. So shout out to those of y'all listening on audio only. Thank you for listening to another episode of Vibe Job with me and my man, Big Cloud Gaming. Appreciate you guys each and every week on the podcast. If you want to go check out Big Cloud content, definitely go down to the show notes and channel link will be down in the show notes for you guys. So definitely check him out. He is legit. If you guys want to donate or support the podcast, there should be a Buy Me a Coffee link in the show notes as well. Not required, but anything that you're willing to contribute, greatly, greatly appreciate it. So thank you guys again. If you happen to be listening on Apple Podcasts, please consider leaving a rating or review. It helps more people discover the show, helps us try to get back into the top 200 of tech podcasts on Apple. So if you are listening on Apple Podcasts, please consider leaving a rating or review. And thank you for listening to another episode of Vibe Drive. But until the next time, people, it's your boy Viper, the man about tech. You know where to find me. So come back for more.